And we are going to look at the first nine verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 3, start in the reading verse 1, and we're going to work down through verse 9. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regarding the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came today. This book of 2 Timothy can be summed up in one word, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Apostle Paul, writing to this young man Timothy, encouraging him, Timothy, remain faithful. Chapter 1, verse 6, he said, keep serving. Keep utilizing your spiritual gift. Fanned it into flame. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 said, keep talking about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus Christ and how he's changed your life. In chapter 1, verse 13, he said, hang on to Scripture. In chapter 2, verse 1, he challenged Timothy, you be strong. Stay strong in ministry. And to do that, you can't do it in your own strength. You have to allow God's strength to equip you, to enable you. So be strong in grace, in God's enabling grace. You have to depend on the Lord during tough times. In chapter 2, verse 3, Paul asked Timothy, suffer hardship with me. If you're really going to live for Jesus Christ in a culture where people aren't living for Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer. So Timothy, suffer alongside of me. And then last week in chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, Paul exhorted Timothy to keep teaching the word. Do it with patience. You don't take your Bible and beat people up with it, but you keep speaking truth. God is the one who changes hearts, but keep speaking truth, Timothy. Now remember that this letter is the last of Paul's letters. Many believe that the Apostle Paul was executed shortly after writing this letter. Most likely it was written in about AD 67, and it's written during the terror of Nero, the Roman ruler Nero, who hated Christians. It's not a popular time to be a Christian. People are dying because they're a Christian. And Paul writes to Timothy, and the very first verse of chapter 3 says this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And I'm guessing Timothy's thinking, difficult times are going to come? What are we in right now? People are hurting for their faith. And yet Paul says, Timothy, you need to expect it. Don't be surprised, because things are going to get worse, and you need to be prepared. Probably about 7-8 years ago, Faith Bible Church, during Labor Day weekend, historically we had a picnic out at Dave Schmidt's house down in rural Swisher. And we did that for 3 or 4 years. And a highlight for me was out behind Dave's house, he's got a pond that is stocked with catfish. And some of these catfish are just huge. And it was always fun watching these little 4, 5, 6-year-old kids with their Snoopy fishing poles hooking into some of those big catfish. I always thought we were going to have a reenactment of the Jonah narrative, watching some of these kids with these big catfish. Now, about a year ago, Dave had a huge fish kill out at his farm. And it was really hot. I don't think his aerator was working quite right. And they just lost. They didn't lose them all, but they lost a lot of catfish. Now, Dave did not do this, but he could have called me up and said, "Steve, thinking about having a barbecue and just a little party and wondering if you and your wife would like to come, and make sure you bring your boys and we're going to grill and then we're going to spend some time down around the pond." And that would have been great. We would have looked forward to going to Dave's and grilling some Iowa chops on the grill. But then gone down to the pond, and we would have realized what he meant by we're going to spend some time down by the pond. Or Dave could have called me up and said, "Listen, I had a huge fish kill, and my pond is filled with these dead fish, and it stinks, and it's gross, and I was wondering if you'd come and help get into the pond and pick up all these dead catfish and load them in my trailer so we can haul them away." Fortunately, he called on his son-in-law to do that. But he didn't invite us to a party and then surprise us. And Paul here is not inviting a Timothy to a party. He's saying, "Timothy, here's the deal. I'm telling you, there you are stepping in to a pond filled with dead, rotting fish. It's gross. And you need to realize that it's gross. There's nothing nice about this. There's nothing happy about it. You are stepping into a time when your culture stinks. And here's the bright note. It's going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. And you are going to be serving Jesus Christ in a dead, stinking fish society. And you need to be prepared. You need to be ready for it, because that's what's coming." Now, this is not a happy passage of Scripture. But the Apostle Paul is teaching this. As we get closer to Jesus' return, people are going to become more and more centered on themselves. There's going to be a misplacement of love, and instead of loving God, they're going to love self more and more. And coupled to that is the fact that people are going to want to appear godly. They're going to want to talk the talk. They're going to want to talk about spirituality and make it appear that they are in relationship with God. But in reality, it's going to be a rotten, stinking fish society that's gross. That's Paul's message to Timothy, and not only to Timothy, but to you and me. Look at verse 1. "Realize this." Now, that verse begins with the little word "but," meaning that chapter 3, verse 1 is contrasting to what he has just said up in chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. 2:24 says this, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth." So Paul has just told Timothy, "Timothy, keep teaching the word. Do it patiently. Be gracious. but keep teaching the word, and perhaps God may do a work in someone's heart. You're not going to change anybody, but God might. God may reach into someone's heart who's on a pathway away from Him, and He may reach into their heart and turn them around so that they'll start seeking after God. So Timothy, keep telling people about Jesus. Keep sharing the Bible with people. And by the way, you and I are to do the same thing. We're not going to change people. God will. But realize this. More and more, progressively, the culture in which you're trying to do this is going to get worse. I'm asking you to share the Bible to people who progressively are going to become more and more self-centered. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, the Apostle Paul, along with the other New Testament writers, believed when he wrote this in the first century of the church that they were already in the last days. How much more are we? For example, keep your finger in the book of 2 Timothy. If you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the first two verses of the book of Hebrews says this, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Keep your finger back in 2 Timothy and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John 2:18 says this, Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour. From the New Testament authors, those human authors who were carried along by the Spirit of God, so that what they wrote was God's word to us, they believed that we were in the last days. From the time that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, up to the time of Jesus' return for the church, the New Testament authors refer to that as the last days, and we're in it. And Paul's point is, difficult times are in the last days. Now, he's going to explain what he means by that in verses 2 through 5, because he begins verse 2 with the little word for. He's saying, here's the reason for the statement that I just made. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by difficult times. For men will be, and then we see this list of 19 descriptors of how bad our culture is progressively becoming. And you'll notice that all of these things revolve around the fact that people have misdirected love. Instead of loving God, our Creator, who created us to be in relationship with Him, people turn to loving self. So if you look in verse 2, it says men will be lovers of self. Simply means they're self-centered. I'm the most important thing. And when you get to the end of chapter 3, verse 4, it says they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Because they're misdirected in their love, everything else in this list flows out of it. Now let's just look at the list. It's a self-explanatory list. They'll be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. That means that they cut people down. They hurt people with their words. They're attacking their reputation. Disobedient to parents. Isn't that interesting in this list of grievous sin? It's talking to children who are still underneath the authority of their parents in the home, saying that disobedience to parents is a sign of the end times. Ungrateful, unholy, in total opposition to God and the things of God. Unloving, irreconcilable. I am not going to forgive that person. I am not going to be at peace with that person. Malicious gossips. That is two English words translated one Greek word. The Greek word is the word that we get the word devil from. It refers to a slanderer. Without self-control. Brutal. Haters of good. Treacherous. Reckless. Like a rash person. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that list sound familiar? It's like, well, that's our culture. We love ourselves more than God. We love money. We love pleasure more than God. And Paul is saying, the closer we get to Jesus Christ, this becomes more and more predominant in the world in which we live. And it's going to get worse. If you look down at chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what's really sad about this section is verse 5. Because verse 5 is constructed in such a way, the words are of a particular tense and a form that shows us that concurrent with this list of verses 2 through 4, all this selfishness, running alongside of that is the fact that the same people will be holding to a form of godliness. The word form of godliness means it's just a shell. It's just that in their outward appearance, they want to be known as spiritual. On the outside, they want people to recognize them as those who are close to God. The reality is, all they care about is self. And verse 5 says they're holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. They deny the gospel itself. The truth that Jesus Christ is God, that he died as payment for sin and rose again from the dead. Do you know what God's intention of the gospel was? One of the end results of the gospel is that it would turn people away from self to God. Keep your finger here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and turn toward the back of your, toward the front of your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You see, that's the transforming power of the gospel. That's what God wants to do in a person's life. No longer will they live for self, rather they'll live for Jesus Christ. But here, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, you realize this, you recognize it. As time progresses, our culture is going to continue to get worse and worse. People will get more centered on self. And at the same time, they'll want to appear to be spiritual. My youngest son is a ninth grader this year, and about a week ago had an assignment in his science class to do a chart of the theory of evolution. So he had this long sheet of paper, and he was supposed to chart out how we got here. Fortunately, his science teacher stood in front of the class and said, I want you to know, it's not that I believe this, but I have to teach this. So at least he said that. So Shane and I had some discussion about how ludicrous the theory of evolution is. It takes more faith to believe in the theory of evolution than it does to believe in a creator God. And one of the most ludicrous things about evolution is the fact that evolution teaches that life has evolved from a very simple form to a complex form. It continues to get better and more complex and more intricate. And that's ludicrous. Nothing else happens that way. There's also people on this earth that believe that humanity keeps getting better and better. That all people are good on the inside. And if we just give them the proper surroundings and educate people, then people will just get better and better. And it's a crock. The Bible says that humanity is going to get worse and worse. People will become, in a growing way, more centered on self. And Paul says, you realize it. Now look what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy and us at the end of verse 5. Avoid such men as these. And we look and say, man, I don't understand that. We're supposed to be praying for people. That's why we have all these names up on this wall. That, like every other Thursday night, we've been gathering and praying for them. And we're seeing people come to Jesus. What does he mean when he says avoid such people? Don't forget what these verses are saying. He's not saying avoid people who need Jesus. He's saying avoid people who claim to have a relationship with God, and yet their lifestyle is totally set against God. They claim to be religious. They claim that they are in relationship with God. And yet their lifestyle proves different. The Apostle Paul shares the same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have this gross account of a man who's having a physical relationship with his father's wife. Most likely, it would be the man's stepmother. And the church isn't doing anything about it. In fact, they pride themselves on being so open-minded. And Paul says, no way. Verse 5, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that the Apostle Paul was turning this one over for premature physical death, that God would take him off the face of the earth in discipline. Now, as you follow down in this letter, in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, it says in verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. And that's the same point that Paul is making here in 2 Timothy 3. If a person claims that they're a Christian, but it's evident from their life that they're totally set on living for self, and their life is marked by continual sin in their life, we are not to consider that person a brother or a sister in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, don't even eat with that person. Doesn't mean that we don't pray for them. It doesn't mean that we don't try to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. But we don't carry on in a daily life as if they're a brother or a sister in the Lord. Timothy, be prepared. This is the culture in which you'll minister. Now look at verses 6 through 9. In 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul gets very specific. Remember, Timothy is pastoring a church in Ephesus. And Paul turns to very specific issues that are happening in the city of Ephesus. And he's telling them that some of these ones who are holding on to this outward shell of godliness, they're hurting people in the church. But Timothy, take comfort in the fact that eventually all will come to light and these ones will become evident. Look at verse 6. Among those are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Evidently, there in Ephesus, there were some immature women in that church who had put themselves underneath these false teachers as their authority. And instead of actually learning truth, all they were taking in was what these false teachers were giving them. They were hurting them. The false teachers were hurting them. And Paul tells Timothy, it's just like Jonas and Jambres, verse 8. That is a reference to two people that are not recorded elsewhere by name in our Bibles. But in literature outside of the Bible, and most likely in oral tradition, these two people were two of the names, supposedly, of the magicians in Pharaoh's court that went up against Moses when Moses said, God tells you, Pharaoh, let my people go. We know from the book of Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, and Exodus chapter 9, verse 11, that these magicians, eventually, it became very apparent that they did not have the power of God. They had a big talk, but they could not demonstrate God's power in their lives when they needed to. And Paul says the same thing's true for these ones who like to talk like they're Christians, but they're not. Eventually, it'll all come to light, and they'll be seen for what they really are. I had lunch this week with Carl Gonder. Carl is the Eastern Iowa Director of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And once in a while, he and I will meet over at Hy-Vee on Edgewood Road. You can get a nice salad for lunch for $2.49. Great deal. You don't have to tip. And so Carl and I are having our salads there at Hy-Vee. And he turns to me and says, Steve, are you a golfer? And I kind of laughed and I said, well, you need to ask Terry Kinnaig from our church family if I'm a golfer or not. One of the favorite things that Terry likes to say to people is, this is our pastor. We know that he's a good pastor and doesn't spend too much time on the golf course because his golf game makes it very clear that he doesn't spend too much time on the golf course. I'm terrible. I am the worst. There's people that have never played a day before and can go out and play better than I can on their first try. And I could go out and I could buy a $2,000 set of golf clubs. I could talk to Steve Scheib in our church who sells golf apparel and ask him to get me a couple $200 golf shirts and some really expensive golf pants. And I could get my little golfer glove and stick it under my belt. And I could walk around with tees in my mouth. And I could just look great. But as soon as I stepped on the golf course and tried to hit a golf ball, it would be very apparent that I was just all talk with no substance. And here Paul's saying, Timothy, it's going to become very apparent that these guys are all talk, no substance. Because their lives will demonstrate that they're far from God. Our culture progressively gets worse. But we can't forget the verses right before this. Because Paul tells Timothy, you keep sharing the word. You keep talking about Jesus Christ with people. But you also need to be mindful of the fact that you're talking about the scriptures and you're sharing Jesus Christ with people who are progressively becoming more centered on self. It's a reminder again and again that if people are going to change, it's God who will change their hearts. He looks to us for faithfulness. In a couple of weeks, we'll see that Paul continues to say, in that culture, if we are really living for Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is seen in us, we're going to suffer too. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. It's one that's not joyful, but it's one where you give us a realistic picture of our culture. And we thank you that in this culture, you make the light of Jesus shine brightly. You are the one who changes hearts. Help us this week to serve in the strength that you provide. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.